Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're damn right we start now. Happy Thursday to everybody listening right here on Sports Radio 610. It is In the Loop. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Atitula hanging out with you. We'll have our guy Andy Kalu, as we frequently do on Thursdays at 11:20. Get involved with the program. As I catch things that are falling next to me, that's the receiver in me.
Yeah,
Sean is the steady hands. You guys get involved with the program. The YouTube and Twitch are available to you. Sports Radio 610 on YouTube, Twitch is 610 Houston. And then also, shout out to 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans for the 5-Hour Energy fan line. I think we're moving into this matchup.
Yeah, we are.
The first time this season that we get to play the Tennessee Titans, so all sorts of things involved there. But immediately, one of the things that has jumped out for a lot of folks is this defense, right? Like, it's not a good team by record, clearly. We've talked about that time and time again when we go around the AFC South after game days. But, this one feels a little bit different because we look at it as not a particularly good team, a 2-8 mm-hmm. Tennessee Titans team. But the defense is something different. And I think Sean has done a good job of pointing out this. I mean, all over the show, we've had people talking about this. Seth as well, obviously, talking about this defense and the interior of the defensive line and the ways that it can challenge this team. But I want to put something up to you here, John. Mm-hmm. I think that there might actually be a bigger challenge in this Tennessee Titans game.
Yeah.
So could I be correct that this is the bigger challenge in the Tennessee Titans game? So CJ Stroud was talking yesterday, as he does on Wednesdays, along with D'Amico Ryans. One of the things that he was talking about was, you know, with this Tennessee Titans team.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he brought up was third down. And I feel like that might be the biggest challenge with this Tennessee Titans team is actually third downs. Because this Texans team, that has been one of their biggest problems, is dealing with third down.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get you the stats here in a second, as the computer never wants to work when you want it to work, right? Mm-hmm. But this Texans team has literally had the most third downs, literally just third downs period of anybody in the league, 165. Their EPA per play on those third downs, like 10th, not bad by any stretch of the imagination. There's a lot of them because of the first and second down play calling and such.
Mm-hmm.
Their conversion percentage, especially over expected, 13th, like right. Average. But when you look at this defense for the Tennessee Titans, it's not just that they are terrifying. It's also that they've been really good at not allowing teams to play very well on third down. And so I do wonder if converting on third down, especially with the concerns that have been had about first and second down play calling, I think that there's been some level of progress there
mm-hmm.
from Bobby Slowik just generally, but especially in that Cowboys game. But I wonder how much of that was the Cowboys themselves not being a particularly good defense, or at least
right.
being in a bad way. I think that the challenge of making sure that you get yourself into advantageous third downs and then converting them at a pretty good clip
mm-hmm.
is going to be the big challenge against the Tennessee Titans defense that does that pretty well.
Okay, so I'm really glad you brought this up, because I stumbled across a stat yesterday that I didn't really know what to do with. And maybe this is the perfect place for it. So it's interesting because the Tennessee Titans – don't blitz a lot. They don't blitz a little. I mean, they're smack in the middle. I think they're like 17th or 18th in the NFL in terms
of blitz percentage.
And blitz percentage.
I'll double check.
And I counter.
Not that I doubt you. I just want to help.
No, please double check, because I do a lot of this stuff just off of memory from what I saw earlier. But I think they're like 17th or 18th in blitz percentage this year. So that would mean I countered that with the fact that C.J. Stroud against the blitz is not really that good this year. His quarterback rating is 23rd in the NFL. That's the stat I stumbled across, and I said, well, does that mean anything in this game? Because the Titans don't really blitz a lot. They're kind of in the middle of the pack.
25th, in fact, in blitz percentage.
Oh, I saw 18th is what I was remembering, but that's even more so the case. That fits this even more so. So if they don't blitz a lot, and C.J. Stroud is 23rd in the league in against the blitz, does it really matter? Well, what you're saying is, on third downs, they don't need to blitz a lot either.
No.
You know?
No, they don't. In fact, they are the fifth best team when it comes to third down conversions allowed over expected, right?
Right.
And that is only bested by the Bears, the Packers, the Chargers, and interestingly enough, the Cowboys.
Yeah. So I think what we're seeing here, it kind of feeds into your point. They're not real good on third down. They're pretty good defensively on third down. And the scary part is they may not even have to blitz. That's where I was getting at. And if you can, as I guess it was the Jets and the Lions that got there a lot with just their front four, that's a problem. That's a problem for C.J. Stroud and the Texans offense. If you don't have to blitz, because then you obviously have better coverage and more DBs on the field.
But that still ties in some ways to what I think a lot of people have talked about with these matchups. And of course, on the text line, 5-Hour Energy fan line from the 832, I think our offensive stats matter when Nico is on the field. And I think that's a fair thing to point out. Mm-hmm. Nico Collins also just did not have a lot of snaps.
47% of the offensive snaps.
And it stands to reason. He's coming off of a soft tissue injury, specifically the hamstring. I know not all soft tissue is made the same. The hamstring seems to be a particularly onerous part of the body to deal with. In fact, the Nico Collins, I don't know what degree of injury felt like, and even that kept him out of the game for 5 weeks. It's one of those things that you want to treat with a level of care and concern so you can understand why they're kind of ramping him up. As he gets more playing time, you can see all of the effects that have been so well detailed time after time of Nico Collins on an offense, how that'll help, right? The big body and the ability to work a slant and be able to separate from a defender, be able to create space or use, his speed and his elusiveness, all those things show up. And then just the ways that he draws attention from a defense, and it's a zero-sum game with the defense. You have so much attention, much of your resources on a field that you can spend in different areas. Nico Collins inherently attracts more of that spend from a defense than anyone else on the field, right? All those things are going to factor in, but how does that show up?
It's really interesting to see how this is going to play out. Because you're right, and the texter is right. Nico on the field, you're going to be better on at least statistically in a lot of ways. But keep in mind, even with Nico on the field, they were still having issues, offensively. C.J. Stroud was still sort of getting rattled a little bit here and there, and they were still giving up a lot of pressures and many more sacks. But then you have to balance that with that's when Kenyon Green was on the field, and that's when the Juice Scruggs was protecting him, and Laremy Tunsil was protecting him. So I would lean toward Nico on the field is going to mitigate that a little bit more.
It'll help.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's a cure-all.
Right, to what degree. And Texans were 4 of 12 on third down against the Cowboys. And that was a game that you felt like you found some things. And that was still 33% on third down. So, how does that battle out? How does that battle play out? I think is going to be an interesting one. But now let's go back to the one that I think I'm trying to be a little bit of a hipster bringing up third downs. Let's go to the one that I think a lot of people are talking about, which is that interior of the defensive line. Jeffrey Simmons, Tavondre Sweat versus the interior of the offensive line. Because sometimes you don't have to be a hipster. Sometimes it's better to just be straightforward and talk about that. This is clearly going to matter as a matchup in this game, though.
It's as much as we talk about Laremy Tunsil and, how is he in the room, and Titus Howard, is he going to be worth the money? The weakest part of this line is the interior. As much as they are a problem on the outside, the weakest part is where they've mixed and matched the most, where they've had the most trouble, where they've shuffled the lineup the most, And frankly, this past week, the three of the lowest rated Texans, at least according to PFF, were Jarrett Patterson, Juice Scruggs, and Shaq Mason. Those are all three your interior guys. Now, I don't care, Nico on the field, Nico not on the field, that could be a problem against the Titans.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially when you lean in and you know that, and this stat gets skewed a little bit because of Kenyon Green, as we talked about, but the Texas interior offensive linemen have allowed a total of 112 pressures this season, which is the third most in the NFL.
Yeah.
That's something that you know, but the stats make it even more jarring that that's the case. Jeffrey Simmons has generated 25 pressures on 238 rushes. So, like, hey, man, are you going to be able to keep him out
That's
of the backfield?
Pretty strong,
and Tavondre Sweat as well, right? Like, Tavondre Sweat also mm-hmm. a big guy who has a little bit of mobility. And really, the big thing is strength when you compare it to the interior mm-hmm. of this offensive line. That is not, like, they're not big boys necessarily.
Yeah.
They're big boys relatively because offensive line, that's what it is. But it feels like you're kind of undersized. You have Juice Scruggs playing left guard.
Oh, Juice is undersized.
He is a center.
Absolutely,
right?
He is, yeah.
And then Shaq Mason has size, mm-hmm. but then what is the mobility with that size and mm-hmm. the strength that he can put to ground, so to say, with that size? Like, I think that clearly is going to be a big challenge, especially because what are the things that a quarterback hates is pressure up the middle. Like, what are the things that help you run the football is being able to, get that blocking up the middle. That's the thing that can really blow up a play, is if you have that movement up the middle where your guys are being pushed backwards. So, yeah, that's going to be a huge challenge in this game. One of the biggest. I'm willing to throw out the third downs in particular because we knew the offensive line is where it is, right? We know that's a challenge. Plus, this offense has needed third downs to continue drives.
Mm-hmm.
This has not been a typical Shanahan offense, or at least one like the Niners, where the Niners are playing for they're trying to get a first down in two downs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know why you level of difficulty.
We don't want third down conversions.
No, they don't even want thirds. First and second down, and they usually do a good job of it. This year's Niners team has definitely had some issues,
mm-hmm.
Admittedly. But they typically do a good job of, like, hey, getting up the field quickly, getting first downs on first and second down. This team, almost at some points, and it's one of the big frustrations that the Texans fans and others have had with Bobby Slowick and this offense, is it feels like first and second down, while also not being successful, have almost felt like they're being lit on fire
mm-hmm.
in some ways, right? Like, which seems to imply a certain level of negligence or whatever the right word is there. And it feels like you can't do that. We've already learned that you can't do that. Put CJ Stroud in just a whole bunch of third and longs and expect the individual brilliance of him.
Yeah.
Like, that's already created issues. I think that becomes a bigger issue when you go up against the Titans team. Admittedly, missing some of their, like, cornerbacks that they lean on, like a Chidobe Awuzie and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But just this defense has done a good job all season long in making third downs.
When you do the little check mark game on where each team has the advantage, most of them are going to go the Texans' way. But the interior offensive line versus the interior of the Titans defensive line is a giant check mark for the Titans. Like, huge. Based on everything we've been talking about. So, I would say, and I fully expect this, I would say Bobby Slowick, there's never been a better time, nor I don't think there is going to be a better time that he does it to mix things up on first and second down. Because if you try to just do the Joe Mixon, well, maybe he'll cut back and find 7 or 8 yards or 45 yards or whatever it is. You might be in trouble against this interior because they'll blow it up from the inside out.
And that's why I had a level of pushback was that yesterday when we were talking about, oh, man, this team has defense, it has a run game. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see, right? Like, this is going to be one of those tests on mm-hmm. how strong that run game is in large part because the offensive line has quite the challenge up the middle. And I like to, kind of circle back around in some ways to where we started. This is CJ Stroud talking yesterday. The first mm-hmm. question he got was his thoughts on the Titans defense, as you will, going into a game.
Right.
You kind of see what the thought is. And I'll read verbatim. Very talented. They have a really good defense and they put it on film. They're almost top 10 in every category that we go over on days like today. They're number one on third down and they have a lot of playmakers. Jeffrey Simmons is a great player. Lajarius Sneed, he has been out, but he is a great player as well. I think he is a good backer. It's going to be a challenge for us. Those are all great points. Like Jeffrey Simmons, rather, obviously, he's there, right? Lajarius Sneed, cornerback who really was one of the real big playmakers for the Chiefs in their Super Bowl run, right? He's there in Tennessee, although he's dealt with injuries. But the first thing that he mentioned, third downs.
Yeah, yeah. First thing he mentioned
Which makes me think that that's something that they're talking about in their meetings.
Yeah. And by the way, L'Jarius Sneed is officially, at least according to Brian Callahan, not going to play.
Okay,
on Sunday. So that's a good mark for the Texans. But what we're talking about here is you got to flip the script. You've got to be able to throw more on first down. Obviously, get to the outside on first and second down. Because they will eat you alive on third down. Number one in the NFL, speaks for itself. And if you get into a third and seven, third and 10, whatever it may be, that's a series that's not going to go very far. I mean, that series is over.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on a thirsty Thursday. Coming up next. When something's bad, it's entertaining. Like, when is something bad that it's entertaining, rather? And I am relatively young in this thing. I'm 32 years old. I would like to go to the OG to get the full accounting on why I should be as mad as he is about Amy Adams Strong. We'll talk about that next.
I will let you know.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Iggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. On this Thursday, we'll have our guy Andy Kalu join us at 11:20. Talk a little bit about these Texans as they head up, or they have the opportunity to play the Tennessee Titans on Sunday, Sunday at noon at NRG Stadium. Excited for that one, for the opportunity to get your eighth win on the season, and I guess to play that franchise.
Oh man, don't get me started.
How much love your blue you gonna see out there?
Oh, so much.
To me, it's always so confusing, man. Yeah. Because like on a normal day, you can see somebody in an Earl Campbell shirt or jersey. You be like, yeah, what's up, man? Yeah, Earl,
yeah, Texas fan.
But then when it's the Titans playing and you see that, it don't hit the same no more, man.
You don't know who's who.
I don't know if you're a Titans fan or you a H-Town fan.
Yeah, you know, somebody put this out there the other day, and I thought it was great. Like, when the Titans wear that stuff, it's a costume.
Are you going for Stolen Valor there? Is that what we're doing here?
It's like Halloween. You know, when Titans fans wear the Oilers stuff, it's a costume. When Texans fans wear it, it's your soul, you know?
Okay.
And that's why...
I'll buy that.
Texans fans wearing the Oilers stuff or H-Town Blue stuff, that is part of your soul. That is what you are.
I mean, it's a salute to service and first responders game.
Yeah.
This one. So I'm gonna go with Stolen Valor.
Stolen Valor is good.
Yeah, that's
Stolen Valor.
Y'all didn't earn that. Y'all just picked it up.
It's so weird too because I got an Oilers starter jacket.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet that's tough.
It's really nice. I've seen it.
It's dope.
It's nice.
It's dope. But I always had that conversation. So I wore it to the I think it was the Taste of the Texans. I wore it there.
Yeah.
Looking fly. And a couple of people like, hey, man, don't let Hannah see you in that jacket.
Oh, she loves
really?
It.
Really?
She loves it.
Yeah, that, I'm like, really? I'm like, man, this is a Houston jacket, man.
I'm
not supporting no Titans.
You've seen my original Oilers jacket with the Derek from when I was doing Spanish radio?
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm going to wear it tomorrow. I'm going to wear it tomorrow, even if it's not that cold. Although, I think it's supposed to be a little cooler.
Today was a real chilly day. Nice. I think that we're going to get
it. I should wear mine then.
Yeah, let's wear our Oilers stuff tomorrow. Mine is like from 1989, 1989, I believe. No, 1990, early 90s. And it's an original Oilers, when the Oilers were here and I was doing Oilers Spanish radio. Don't think it was great. It wasn't. But I did pregame.
What, the jacket or the radio?
The radio.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I did pregame and halftime.
Like, who is this fake Hispanic going here thinking Spanish?
I'm real, but...
He don't know no Spanish.
I'm real, and that was my first language, but it's rusty, baby. it's rusty. So I woke up this morning, what do they say? Feeling dangerous.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Baker Mayfield. Yeah, we see you.
Choosing violence is a common term. Because I woke up and I'm like... What am I thinking? I haven't torched Amy Adams Strunk this
All right.
week.
The time is hey, nigh, I as
thought,
they say.
I thought that conversation was over, man. Yeah. We had that conversation all last year.
Hell no.
About the uniform. Just give us back the uniforms.
It'll never die.
Well, it's not just that. That's why I chose violence today, because it's my obligation to torch that woman.
Woo! Okay. I am going to be real uncomfortable all segment long.
So when I thought about this in terms of Amy Adams, because as much as she's awful at her job, she's petty.
Okay.
She's vindictive.
Tell me how you really feel.
She's all that. She's awful. She's awful at her job. She's petty. She's vindictive and a lot more other things. I'll give you some examples here in a minute. I'm kind of glad. I'm kind of entertained. And that's what I was...
That they're 2-8?
She's that. I started, and I was asking you guys before the show, when is something so bad and bad at what they do and horrible as a person that it's actually entertaining?
Okay, well, you're talking about as a person. When I thought of, with the question just generally, when is something so bad that it's entertaining, is like a movie or something.
Yeah.
Right, where, for me personally, I enjoy being in that space where it's like me and some friends... put on a really bad movie and we just gonna clown it the whole way.
A Tubi movie?
But yeah. it has to be bad. Yeah, real bad. Like Tubi movie.
You gotta watch a Tubi movie. Have you seen the Tubi movie?
Uh-uh.
Download Tubi and just watch a movie with
your wife. Oh, you mean the Tubi, the network?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's known
you
for
gotta
that.
You gotta watch a handcraft behind, I guess, out in the streets type of production.
They just filmed it on their iPhone real quick.
Oh, the acting is incredible.
I was thinking Caddyshack 2.
Like okay. All right. Fair enough. Okay. That's also in there. One of my go tos on like bad movie that's fun to watch, but you got to watch it like with other people. Watching it by yourself is like sad. It's almost like drinking, right? You got to do it socially. Otherwise, it's a little sad.
Yeah.
Ghost Rider. The one with Nick
Cage.
I've
seen it. Oh, yes. Okay. I've seen it.
It's hilarious how bad it is.
I was thinking of some sports stuff. Like the Tyson Paul fight was entertaining. I said it flat
Disagree.
Out.
I'm sorry. You're not going to get me there.
Frankly, the Jack Easterby years. Awful.
But ooh, I don't know if you're going to get support there either. You're losing steam on this one, Lopez.
That was painful, man.
Okay, I'll pick it up with this one. The Cowboys.
Yeah.
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 They're so bad.
Because
so
it's not just bad. Like, it's also like... It lashes out, and also it's interesting. It's creatively bad. It's the owner telling you that the son is an advantage somehow.
Yeah.
Getting into your wide receiver, like it's outlandish.
Yes,
and it's
entertaining.
It's bad. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So and I'll get to this during confessions, but Daryl Morey and the 76ers right now, they're so bad they're entertaining.
I'm surprised you didn't say this one that first came to my mind.
What's that?
Deshaun Watson.
Oh, the way that he's playing spectacle. On the backside?
Yep, just how he left and just how his career just went down the toilet, man.
A little bit of come up instead?
Yeah.
So let me explain, because, again, I'm contractually obligated to torch that woman.
Okay.
Some things that are actually making this kind of entertaining for me.
All right.
And why I love watching Amy Adams Strunk bleep the bed. She fired Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, that's still wild, right? Like,
I kind of understood it because I thought.
Please help me understand, because I know.
I thought they was going into rebuild mode. I thought they was just going to tear the whole.
Yeah.
I thought they was going to blow up the Carter. I thought they was going to start from scratch, but it threw me off because they spent a lot of money in free agency.
Yeah,
I'm like, y'all could have did that with Mike Vrabel then.
Yeah,
if y'all was trying to go all in,
and you probably should have, because I think one of the things with Mike Vrabel. Tenure as a head coach was that he was definitely on the make a little something out of nothing train. Like, it felt like consistently the performances, the output that he was getting from his team was above what could have been expected with the level of talent that he had. So in theory, what you do is raise the level of talent, so the output continues to go up. And they're like, no, we will fire you and then raise the level of talent. I was like, how does that work?
That threw my whole theory out, because I'm thinking like, oh, they're going to rebuild. They're going to start from scratch and then, you know, build through the draft and all that stuff. But they balled out in free agency. Like, where y'all getting this money from?
And yet, she signed off on trading DeAndre Hopkins. It's entertaining to me that she is bleeping the bed so bad. And then, of course, there's that whole crazy ex-girlfriend glassy-eyed stare that she gets when it comes to daddy's favorite color and her daddy issues. Yeah, I said it. And her daddy issues that she has. The whole obsession with the color is mind-blowing. So for those who don't know the whole story, I kind of put together like a whole series of things about why she is vindictive and petty and all that
stuff. Okay.
A few things you may not know already about Amy Adams Strunk. She's made this the biggest rivalry in the division to her own detriment.
Sure.
There was no real rival. She's made it. She's done it.
For the Texans in particular?
Yeah, for the Texans in particular and Texans fan. She sent a cease and desist letter to the University of Houston.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Like, I don't know how that really infringes on it. Like, you might, okay, I can understand where you might stand from, like, getting after the other NFL team. Like, yo, this is, we in the same space. Don't be doing that. The Cougars are just trying to do a little bit of, you know, local pride.
Yeah.
That was real nasty work.
Petty.
And those things were gorgeous, too.
They were nice.
Are they wearing them this
week? They are wearing them this
week. They're wearing them this week, too, which is hilarious.
I appreciate the University of Houston putting on for the city
Petty
in that
versus
way.
Petty.
Like, oh, y'all in town?
Yep.
Oh, no, we just put this on. It's a coincidence.
Yeah, exactly. Here's another one that a lot of people don't know about. So whenever the visiting management comes to, let's say, Houston, they get a suite and they get a little gift.
Yeah, just a little bit of courtesy.
From the host owners. Do you know what her gift was last year in Tennessee and Nashville when Texans owners and front office people went to their suite?
At Nissan Stadium?
At Nissan Stadium. Maybe tomorrow. I said today, but maybe tomorrow.
That time I really did do it. I was being a jerk that time for sure.
At each seat or thereabouts was a bottle of wine. All right, that sounds pretty cool.
Was it the pizza wine from Pizza Hut?
Worse. It was a bottle of wine with a giant H-Town Blue or Columbia Blue, in their case, oil derrick on it.
Oh, man.
When the Texans came to town?
Hand to God, I have someone who was in that suite that sent me a
picture. That's such nasty work.
Sent me a picture.
That's petty.
I love it. I love it that she's bleeping the bed. And then here's, of course, the most important one. So she really didn't say much, do much about the H-Town Blue, the Columbia Blue at all until after 2021. This is something else that a lot of people don't know. I happen to have sources in both cities.
Okay. Shout out to John McClain.
Mine are more. No, I'm not going to say that. But anyway, so after 2021, she all of a sudden started caring about this, like more. Like she didn't really have the reunions with the Oilers. She had occasional players come by, but she had a full-blown reunion with Oilers players in Tennessee. Why? Mm-hmm. To stick it to the Texans. But this is the thing that a lot of people don't know. She personally called the NFL office. Now, I don't know if she talked to Goodell or whomever. I haven't gotten that detail. But she personally called the NFL office and said, the hell they are. And I'm paraphrasing that part. She told the NFL office, we're going to fight this to the bitter end because the Texans started planning their new uniforms after the 2021 season. All right? She personally called and said, no, they're not. This is not going to happen. Stomped her feet, whined, cried, the whole thing. And that is why the Houston Texans today don't have the full blue uniform. The compromise was you can use some touches.
Like an accent color.
Accent colors, thank you. And all that. She is petty, vindictive, awful, and in every sense of the term. And oh, by the way, since 2021, since she really did this, the Titans are 7-10. 6-11, and currently 2-8.
Soon to be 2-9.
Yeah,
exactly. Because like you just can't lose to that. Mm-hmm. You can't give that any oxygen. You can't like put any oxygen to that fire of pettiness that she had. Or I guess like it's gonna burn or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you can't like help her out in any way. You gotta beat this team down. With all due respect to Jeffrey Simmons and T'Vondre Sweat and L'Jarius Sneed, and I guess whatever respect is due to Tyjae Spears and Will Levis and all them folks. Like, hey, man, whatever y'all doing, you know, the Callahans, all right, that's cool. Yeah. But this ain't about you. It's about her.
I think
the one person I'm disappointed in out of all is even more than her. I'm disappointed in Warren Moon, man.
But
this,
you know,
this dude acting like this like the Oilers wasn't in Houston at all.
But they're starting to get it. Like Bruce Matthews,
like he's
all
brainwashed.
Yes, but Bruce Matthews was joining them in some of their things. No more. He's over here. Dan Pastorini, they introduced him during a break at last year's game here. A lot of those Oilers are realizing, yeah, no, I don't know about this.
I think she got the Warren Moon, man, because I think the last time he spoke about it, he pretty much trashed the new uniforms and saying, oh, that's Tennessee and all. Like, bro, you was here in Houston, man.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with you, man?
Exactly.
Like, nah, we going to take your Sports Awards jacket back.
I hear you, man.
Like, give it to Tennessee then.
I hear you. And, oh, by the way, a report today that kind of puts the exclamation point on everything. God, I hope it happens. Aaron Rodgers could end up in Nashville next year.
Oh, man. That's
because he bought the house there. Remember that?
Yeah.
And the Jets
aren't... He ain't coming back to the Jets.
The Jets aren't going to bring him back. How awesome would that be?
I mean, we would have to like pay more attention to the Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, that's a play. Hey, that's pretty much a hospice at this point, man. Everybody to go there and pass away.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
including them uniforms.
That felt good to get that off my chest.
I'm glad you did that without saying any bad words, and really did a great job of establishing why it is a absolute must.
Yeah.
That on Sunday, I think they're about 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
The scoreboard needs to be Texans a lot, Titans a little.
Have your camera fixed on Hannah.
Okay.
Get your camera fixed on Hannah after that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That's a good point.
Yeah.
She does let that petty flow.
The last time they beat them, which was, I think it was New Year's Eve. And she was like, hey, Figgy, you see somebody sweeping around here?
That's right.
You're like, oh, yep, that's us.
And you can't get a sweep until you get the first one, right?
That's right.
Got to get this win on Sunday. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to the question of the day. 713-572-4610 is the number to text. Who would be, if it was allowed, the Texans' designated juicer? I'll explain next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, it's about time for the question of the day. However, I was just alerted of something, and should we go to the Figgy News Desk?
Yeah.
All right, we now turn to the Figgy Fig News Desk as Jonathan M. Alexander is reporting some important news from the box of the owner, from the desk of the team owner.
Oh, yeah, we were just talking about her, huh?
Yeah, man. Thank God I ain't reporting no Kristen Harris news. But
we'll talk more about that later.
So Jonathan M. Alexander of the Houston Chronicle, he actually posted a story about this, a piece about this.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Hannah Manier on the Texans-Titans rivalry. She said, quote, we have taken over Houston now. We've taken our fans back. They are just the Titans now.
Hold that.
How do you not love her?
Man.
How does anyone not love her?
I don't know. She's done phenomenal for this team.
That is so good.
We'll talk more about that as the show goes along. Okay, yeah. That was something that happened. I completely forgot about that. All right, let's get to the question of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So, Stephen Ruiz, he writes for The Ringer, does some really good work there for The Ringer writing about football, sent a tweet. I think this was either yesterday or a couple days ago, saying that he's often believed that, you know, the NFL should allow just one designated player on every team. Let me read this verbatim. I firmly believe the NFL should allow every team to pick one designated PED user who is exempt from testing each season. If that was the case, which player would your team pick? And I just wanted to throw that to the fans. That's the question of the day. Which player would be the Texans' designated juicer?
First of all, does he firmly believe that?
Firmly.
Does he really?
He's a writer. He picked his words very carefully,
firmly,
John.
Firmly believe that you should allow one PED user per game, team?
Per team. Not just for the season, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that is the season's PED user. I'm interested in the thing and, like, how you go about it, not just the person that you're thinking of. So give me a little bit of your reasoning on the 5-Hour Energy Fan Line, 713-572-4610. I appreciate this from the 713. Give Tunsil the juice. Laremy Tunsil.
That's a good one.
Maybe it sparks a mean streak in him that bleeds over to the rest of the line. I hadn't thought about, like, the roid rage.
Yeah,
possibly.
Yeah, I was about to say, hopefully it get to him mentally. where he'd be ready to punch somebody in the helmet or something.
What about Tank Dell?
What, to make him faster?
Bigger. And stronger.
How strong
break through a couple
of
tackles.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know how much that's necessary for his game, though.
Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, that's the one that popped in my mind, but I'm not even convinced myself, you know. But little dude that can run even faster and break through more tackles.
Okay.
Maybe.
That wasn't where my mind went immediately. One of the things I thought about maybe interior offensive line, like maybe it's Juice. One, great synergy on the name. Two, right, like just get him some of that strength to allow some of that interior, the push that you need as well. Or
what about Kenyon?
Like that's useful? Kenyon's another good one, but I do wonder like how much of his issues are just like strength or speed or whatever, and how much of that is just like a seeming inability to grasp and pick up like the assignments and those types of things. Because someone did bring up Kenyon Green as a possibility so that the first round pick isn't a waste. And I understand that line of logic, but I also wonder like, where do you get the most bang for your buck on picking a player that is doing that stuff?
On the opposite side of the spectrum from Tank, he's already a cyborg. What if Will Anderson?
Oh, that is scary.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. He would be like, just eating people.
He might actually eat a person.
He would just eat people. You can go one extreme to the other. Get the little guy stronger and faster, or get the cyborg into like an alien.
Yeah, see, that's where I was going to with this one. I was going to say Nico Collins.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's already big and strong.
Big and strong fast.
If he's on the juice, he might be way better than Calvin Johnson, man.
Wow. Yeah. No, you brought that name up, and I was like, oh, it's one of those. Calvin Johnson is one of those tough ones to bring up because it immediately makes your argument tough to make. But yeah, if you put Nico on that juice, that could be really interesting. A lot of people coming in, no brainer, juice.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. 832 Juice Scruggs. I think absolutely. I'd like the strength that you get in the middle of the line. And that would be one fewer player that you feel like you would have to make some level adjustment of for not just in this season, but moving forward. Offensive line is a really interesting way to go. How about this? Someone said Christian Harris, like just the HGH, man. Hit him with all that HGH and let him get back to playing football again.
I'm thinking about this.
What about Aziz?
Aziz would be another cyborg.
He might mess around, be Ray Lewis.
He would be another one.
Correct.
Of those. The one that I'm like I said, I'm really thinking about this too deeply, but have you ever seen a 75-yard field goal?
That's came in on the 5-hour energy fan line from the, where was it? Someone said Kiami, 346, awesome. Kiami, 70-yard field goals.
Once they get to their own 35, he's on.
Yeah. As
soon as he gets to that side, like, hey, pee in his cup.
Do you want to encourage more field goal kicking?
Yeah, 17 field goals.
It's a nice fallback, but do you want to become Pittsburgh Steelers Central where it's just like, hey, we win with 7 field goals?
Yeah, but if you call a fair catch at your own 35, you got 3 points.
Someone said, screw it, give it to Danielle Hunter. Let's see just how strong he can get. Yeah. Like, can you... How low can your body fat percentage go? That's the question that I have to ask. Because he already looks like he's chiseled out of stone.
He's going
to
be looking like Ronnie Coleman.
Some other ones that came in. How do you feel about this? Someone mentioned Henry Toto. Smaller linebacker, could use the size and speed increase. Mm-hmm. He's already playing better, but could take a jump. Which is interesting because did you notice? Because I didn't notice it until the question was asked yesterday of D'Amico Ryans. The snap count for him definitely went down.
Because of pass protection.
Devin White, got him there. And yes, it was. And he had a couple of plays where he kind of got lost or just was not able to stay on his assignment there. First of all, do you want to see him on the juice? And second of all, like, what was your read on that?
Well, yes, I do.
On the juicy juice.
And really, it was more like he had a couple of busts. I thought he played well against the run. In fact, I said it Tuesday. You know, I thought he and Jalen Petrie, we need to just admit that they're good. But he did have some misses in the pass coverage.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where they're just going to rotate him, consistently in that.
Yeah, Devin White, and what's interesting is you mentioned it, like it did feel like it was a move because of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Devin White isn't a guy that I think of when I think of coverage.
He's faster.
Right? But he does have more athleticism and speed in that way. Someone, the name that has kept coming up that has made me smile, 832-713 on the YouTube by Wesley, some more people even, Jalen Petrie. You would actually turn him into a torpedo at that point.
Yeah, you would.
Hey, move up the linebacker, bro.
Move up the linebacker.
Like, he probably should play linebacker.
That would allow him to add that extra, maybe like 20 pounds or whatever, make him like a full-fledged linebacker. And maybe that is like, and not that I'm trying to take anybody's job, but maybe there you go. Like, sit him next to Aziz and just let him play linebacker, really. Because I don't think you love his coverage as like kind of slot corner, the slot corner. Yeah, yeah. Do you like his coverage as linebacker in that instance?
Jalen?
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
I do appreciate from the 832 that texted in, why couldn't we have this when Brian Cushing played? Because that'd be a danger to everybody on the field.
He might die.
Other people might die. What are you talking about?
I said what I said,
and I'm not going to acknowledge what you're trying to point out, which is fair, but I'm not talking about
it. Overtrained athlete syndrome, anyone?
This dude tried to headbutt somebody without his helmet, with somebody having the helmet on.
Again.
What is wrong with you, man?
Well, we kind of could, you know, speculate.
He did have a suspension in there, didn't he?
Overtrained athlete syndrome. Thank you very much.
He did have a suspension.
There. A couple of them.
I'm just saying. See that.
Why couldn't we do Brian? Oh wait.
Yeah, but that was with the rules. Yeah.
Well, hey, let's do Barry Bonds then.
Oh wait.
Yeah, but here's the thing. What has been proposed here is a designated PED user who's exempt from testing.
Okay.
So like, yeah, then he could go full bore with it. You know what I mean?
That's an example of what might happen.
we didn't even go here. What happens if you give it to Joe Mixon?
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Man. What happens if Joe Mixon becomes the Hulk?
Get the hell out of here, Derrick Henry.
Do you even need an offensive line?
Imagine guys bouncing off his leg.
Man.
Maybe this is overthinking it as well. How about any of the tight ends that block?
What, Catoriano or Stover. Probably Stover?
No, yeah. Stover would be a grunk at that point,
man. Yeah.
I love this from 713. And as we're the question of the day is, who would be the designated PED user if that was allowed by the NFL? And the question that the text came in, give it to D'Amico so he could coach and play.
Sure. Absolutely. Get well soon. He'd get right.
D'Amico getting reps as well. Yeah. Someone give it to Weeks. Now we're just doing bits. Is that what's happening here? Is there anybody in the secondary that you would consider? Because it's been a lot of linebacker, a lot of offensive line.
How about Bullock?
Does he need it?
He's just lanky, you know? The ball finds him, you know?
Yeah. As a free safety,
how about with a little, you know?
A little oomph.
What about the tackling machine? Neville Hewitt.
Oh, he'd play 75 years.
Hey, he might rock bottom somebody.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right.
Okay, so we've thrown out a lot of possibilities. Is there anyone? Someone said juice up CJ, let him throw 90-yard dimes. Actually, I had not considered CJ, and I probably should have. Mm-hmm. Also, like, one of the things I loved about this game against the Cowboys is that you could see instances where CJ, in trying to, you know, create a play, was like, I'm going to hold on to this one and just use my legs.
Yeah.
And it's been something that, I mean, Figgy, you remember, all the way back to Ohio State. It's like, hey, man, why don't you use your legs? Yeah. What happens if you make him faster? And so I understand he's not, like, the fastest dude, but, like, it seems
he's
like
not he's not slow at all.
Yeah. Right. And so, like, you give him an opportunity to be even faster to where maybe he feels a little bit more comfortable utilizing his legs and making it that much more difficult on defenses.
Yeah. I'm in.
Will Anderson Jr. comes in again. Do we have a definitive? Do we want to come up with like a definitive answer for this?
Let's come up with a show answer.
I would say either Laramie or Will Anderson Jr.
Man, I'm not wasting it on Laramie. Man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if I was gonna go,
but the attitude, man.
Hey, man, nah, I think that brother too laid back.
Yeah, he too
buttoned up.
So Will Anderson,
yes.
All right, I'll let y'all overrule. I was gonna go. I'm like, I'm gonna go back to the offensive line. Maybe that says too much about what I. Yeah, Will Anderson would become a full game wrecker at that point.
Yeah.
Someone said J.J. Watt was way ahead of y'all. He's been on the juice for months. Don't do that.
Hey, that is slander.
Hey. Calm down.
Hey, let's wait till you get in the Hall of Fame first. Yeah. And then,
wow.
We don't want to do all of that now.
Yeah.
Slander.
Keep a lid on it.
I can't believe it.
Shut the hell up.
You're in the loop. You're in
Shut the
loop.
Hell up before I bust that camera.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Thirsty Thursday. All right, coming up next, we'll go around the NFL where apparently the Cowboys didn't get beat bad enough because they out here talking. Mm. We'll talk about that more next.